Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales. Natalie has been in the top 1% in the country for over 25 years and number one in Hawaii for 2 years prior to stepping back to building Realty Universal. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, aloha, Randy. How are you?
Aloha. Yeah.
Now everybody's really appreciating that warm weather over there versus because it's starting to get cold all over the country. I talked to somebody in the Midwest today, and it was snowing, and oh, my goodness, it's like really already.
Yeah. So. Travis, our son, works in New York City, and he said it's, you know, he gets up in the morning, it's 20, 25 degrees, you know, to go to work.
Ooh, he's used to that California sunshine too, isn't he?
Yes, he is. And it's, you know, 88 and trade winds here always. So we're broadcasting from the corporate offices of the Maui Dive Shop today. So kind of a cool thing. And,
cool.
You know, if you ever come to Maui and you want to go diving or snorkeling, they are the place to stop by.
They've got,
no
they
doubt
have
about
other
it.
Ones too, I think, on other islands too, or is it all on Maui?
You know, I'm not sure. I know they have 7 stores here all over the island.
Okay, because I thought I've heard on, even on Oahu, I've heard the name, so maybe I'm just...
Yeah.
They
may. Yeah, they may have it, actually. Very cool. And our second half guest, Jeff Scharnhorst, executive director of the Pacific Cancer Foundation here on Maui, and talking about all he does to help families with cancer.
Oh.
Challenges, you know. So that's going to be
really
awesome.
Tough. Awesome. Our first half today is leadership built to last. Don't quit. Mm. And I know I've got, you know, you've been a leader for a long time, and it's just like, you know, it's going to be interesting to go over this, and it all ties into real estate as well because the discipline has to be there to do the industry.
Mm.
So it'll be kind of neat to go through that.
Yeah, that reminds me of I saw Michael Hyatt. I follow him on Twitter.
Oh.
And, you know, the Thomas Nelson publisher, president guy, and he's kind of, you know, he's an amazing guy, and he did this, he shared this poem about don't quit, don't ever, ever, ever quit, this whole idea of, you know, persistence.
Yeah, and everybody, it is really cool, and it's really real. You know, it's like you just don't quit. Sometimes, you know, have you ever heard the story and saying so many times people are just about, they quit just before everything's going to happen. Where everything's going to bloom the way they expected it to bloom.
Yeah.
So, and the journey's actually the most important part.
Yep, absolutely. And what is it? Colonel Sanders had his Kentucky Fried Chicken recipe rejected 70 times before he got
I don't think he was even, wasn't he like 68 years old before he started Kentucky Fried Chicken? Something like that, right?
Yep.
He was.
Yep. So, and you know, you go down the line, Thomas Edison, Abraham Lincoln, all the failures. You know, just never
Edison,
gave up.
Edison, 1,000 times for the light bulb. But the Golden Gate Bridge, I had a gentleman, I don't know his name off the top of my head, that was instrumental in the Golden Gate Bridge. It took 20 years, kept fighting, you know, having to go through so many issues. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's amazing when you look at what stands this test of time and the foundations and, you know. So what we're going over, leadership built to last, don't quit. You know, great leaders are built to last, but what is a leader really? I mean, in your mind, Randy, what do you think of? Things are changing so much now. What do you think of a leader? A leader is somebody who can. What do you think of a leader?
Well, I think a leader is an influencer. I think it's not a positional thing. A lot of times, people think leader, a leader is somebody who's, well, I'm a general manager, I'm whatever. I'm a leader by title or position, but I really believe it's a mindset. And you know, of course, I'm a big John Maxwell fan, and he talks about everything rises and falls on leadership, and leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. You know, it's the ability to influence people, to bring them along, to nurture them. You know, of course, Jesus, the model of servant leadership, where, you know, when he washed the disciples' feet, he modeled that. Yes,
yeah.
I'm the Son of God, but here, I'm going to wash your feet, and this is the way you should lead other people, serving them.
It's amazing, wonderful. And if anybody wants to call in, we get a lot of archive listeners, you can call in at 347-945-5428, 347-945-5428, and tell us what leadership means to you.
Yeah, would love that.
You know, it's, yeah, and so lots of times people think leaders, followers. The followers follow the leaders, you know, but that's not always the case. And some people want to lead, but they're afraid to lead. And it's so wonderful these days, people can, it's important to create your own masterpiece. It's important to keep your foundation and your values in check. And, you know, very, very important that great leaders do that. We need to build ourselves and our organizations to last. That means we have to build on strong foundations. But that can change, too. Things can change. But usually you find your deep core values, your deep beliefs, and for me, it's my faith in God. I know you're very strong in that, too. Kind of keeps me through where I can weather the storm and make it through and pray and meditate. I just started reading some about fasting and praying, you know, and it's so amazing how that ties in together to give you some balance and ties in with trying to figure out what it is you want to do and what it does make you a leader. Now, just like Randy just mentioned, it doesn't mean a title. It doesn't mean you were just a leader of an organization and now you're, you know, or you're the manager or you're whatever. That, yes, that would be a leader, but that doesn't mean that that's not making you a leader to last for good. You know, you may have had different positions. Some people have had 10 different Tony jobs in this day and age, right?
Yep.
And they're still a leader in the way they carry themselves, handle themselves, and what they do. And it's, I think the leaders kind of see things through to the end. And many times they see things through to the end through a lot of opposition, just like you mentioned, and look at Thomas Edison and a lot of challenges, a lot of risks. It's like visioning what you feel that's supposed to, where you're supposed to end up, and getting there through steps and foundations and plans, and you know, so it's like planting seeds, just like a farmer does. The farmer is planting the seeds now because of history and repetition and knowing this has been done before. He's seen the crops grow after so much time. He learns, he educates himself on how to do it. You know, they till the soil, they do fertilizers, whatever they do, there's a system. And then after so much time, this crop grows, this one grows, you know, different. And they get to know that. But they know, the farmer knows, they can't just get to the end. They have to plant the seeds and have faith, right, and go through and do the right things. And then you start to see the results. So it's kind of, you know, I like to think of leadership that way because I think we're all leaders in our own right, right? If we want to, depending on where we're headed.
Everybody is. Absolutely. Everybody's a leader. I mean, a mother at home with the kids, she's a leader. She's leading the kids, influencing the kids. So when people say leadership is kind of this thing saved for just people who are, quote, unquote, positionally leaders. No, everybody is a leader. We're all leaders. At the very least, we lead ourselves. You know, we lead ourselves. We've got to, you know, we need to be able to lead ourselves before we can lead others.
Yeah, and you get the textbook leadership, and of course we have to be able to visualize. Leaders can usually visualize and look at the whole picture and then set up plans and systems for people to execute, to get things done, to be able to delegate. Mm-hmm. But just like you said, we all in our own selves we're leading. And you know, I love the Bible as far as the foundation in God's Word and showing us we make it a lot harder than it has to be sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays with the internet and the way the world's changed and being able to work virtually, people can actually, they have so much more freedom now than they used to. You know, it used to be people would say, okay, I have to have this job for 20, 30 years and I'm going to retire. When this, when that, when that. Still have quite a lot of people thinking that way because that's what we've gotten used to, right? But
yeah.
They can change it, and they can change the way that they're going to do that. But I think with anything that we ever want to get into, we actually need mentors. We need the knowledge. We need to know how to do it. Even the farmer had to learn either through family, through, you know, repetition, through however. That, you know, anything we want to get into, you've been in radio forever, it seems like, Randy, doesn't it? 36 plus years, something like that, or
yes.
maybe more.
Yes,
woo!
36
well, you
years.
Had to, I mean, when you got into it, you had to learn. You had to learn the equipment. You had to learn and study and work through what you had, you know, to do in order to do it, and now it's changed tremendously. I had to do the same thing with real estate, but even after all these years, I can't just assume. I have to still stay up to date. And that's the same thing. I think it's working towards excellence, working towards paying things forward, helping people, mentoring, you know, and being blessed. I really believe there's so many different leadership is not just execution, you know. It's really is. And so say you're out there and you're listening to this and you're saying, you know, I really want to do this or do that, or I could be a leader, but I've never done it before. Well, just like Randy said, I bet you have. I bet you you could call us right now and we could go through a checklist and go, wait a minute, you've been leading and you don't even know
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. There was a time in your life where you influenced others. And when you influence somebody, you're a leader. That's, you know, you can be a leader to the bad or the good, really.
And when you think about it, a lot of times leaders are not, they're definitely not the most popular, right? Because you can't make everybody happy when you're leading, especially if you're forging ahead and trying to do new things, like what we did. I know I was doing the 1994, starting the menu programs, when people were like, what is that? What are you talking about? You know, now people understand it. But and then we were the first company to bring it to Hawaii, and, you know, it's like, you know, you're the person with the feathers and the arrows in the back when you're bringing in a new system, right?
Uh-huh.
So yeah, you have to be able to forge ahead and know this feels right. This is I know this is the right thing to do. It also sometimes I think people might think, well, I want to be a leader, or I have this vision, or I have this what I want to do. But that's everyone's naysaying it. They say I can't do this, I can't do that, you can't do this, it's not going to work. Don't listen to them. Really. Mm-hmm. Listen to yourself and invest the time. Invest the time to get better, to work on your skills and talents of whatever you're interested in, you know, because there's no way all of us know everything. There's no way. So when you're interested in another hobby, another position, you're going to need to take the steps, right, to get better and better and better and better. Like I talk too fast and I have to say, okay, I want to speak a lot. I have to slow down, right, Randy? Randy's saying, I'm just giving you these cue things. Don't interrupt the speaker, like the guest. Like, don't interrupt them. Give us a second. Especially on us with the Blog Talk Radio, we have, there's sometimes a delay. You know, and I'm like, I'm already chomping at the bit. I'm so excited about who I'm listening to. I'm going, oh, my gosh, I want to ask this question, or put this slot out there, you know? And you're like, just a word, Natalie. Let them. Okay, wait a minute. I've got to be quiet. So see, we can always in anything. And I've been speaking for a long time. You know, in anything we're doing, we can always get better. We can always take criticism and constructive criticism and look at how we can do it. But I think one of the big traits with a leader, though, is you can't care what other people think, because everybody's always going to come in. I don't mean you could care as far as if you have an organization saying, hey, we want input, we want the suggestion box, how do you think we could do this better? Lots of times it's been proven, the younger one that comes in with the fresh ideas, not going through the years of trials and tribulations, maybe not realizing that some things might not work, may have the best idea because they're not discounting things. So it's really great to have it open to suggestions. But if people start, you know, being negative and putting things down and being, you just can't take it personally. That's one thing with a leader, because otherwise you don't get to that. It's too easy for people to just stop and not going to send that newsletter out. This person just said this didn't sound right, or I'm not going to, you know, finish that because, you know, they gave me a bad grade on this paper, or I'm not going to be good at this because of this, you know, or I can't spell. And, you know, people are thinking, oh, well, everybody can. They've got spell check, and people can work on it and spell, you know. So many things come up that you could be amazed at, you know. So if you have this, we all have a voice inside us. I think God gave us special gifts on purpose. God has a mission for all of us. And if you have that desire in you and you haven't made it happen yet, and you just keep even having this desire for years, we just urge you to go towards, even if it's baby steps, because every step counts, go towards and start doing it. You know, some people, you've been in careers for years. I've been 20, and you're, I can't do that anymore, right? Because you want to do something. But what you've done is going to take you to the next level. This is all leadership. This is John Maxwell, I think that's a wonderful organization. I'm just amazed at how he has been a leader in instrumentally building this organization, hasn't he? Tell us a little bit about that, because I think that's an excellent example of one person who was able to grow with, of course, the help of God, grow something almost exponentially in a sense.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he was a pastor. That's his background, and then he realized after a few years, you know, he liked teaching, but he didn't want to, he didn't like the counseling part or the pastoring part, so,
really?
You know, he figured that out and said, you know, he'd be sitting listening to people share their problems, and he's like, you know, get over it, move on, come on, you know, he didn't have that pastor's heart that you need, but he loved the teaching, so he began to do more and more teaching, and as he did, and wrote books. His Thomas Nelson Publishing Company, his publisher, at one point told him, you know, most people are buying your books in corporate America, so not churches, you know. And so you might want to think about expanding your message to the corporate arena. And that's what he did. He began to basically write books that biblical principles, you know, everybody communicates, few connect, so how to deeply connect with people, you know, put your dreams to the test, 10 questions, how to put your dreams to the test, ask questions you need to ask, just all of his books, leadership, the 5 levels of leadership, 21 irrefutable laws of leadership, so many books that he's written, over 60, and he's become this kind of leadership guru guy.
So then he started the organization, and it just started blossoming through, like, membership, through trainings?
Yeah, as you know, he's kind of getting up there now and kind of, you know, he's had a great life and impacted lots of people, thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people all over the world. But he really felt like he wanted to, you know, there were so many people that are kind of, if you will, disciples of him, that there would be folks who would want to be certified coaches, speakers, and trainers.
Oh, I see. So he could do that, right, to certify people to kind of do it.
He certified people to teach his material and then present a model to them on how to build a speaking business, you know, how to do mastermind groups and charge for them and how to network and become a speaker. So, you know, even as he's kind of riding off into the sunset, he's leaving this legacy. About 3,000 now members of the John Maxwell team in like 70 countries, you know, all over the world.
I love it.
And it's about leadership, and it's biblical stuff without the chapter and verse. It's not preachy, but it works. Bible works. Those
I love the Bible.
Work.
Oh, my gosh. It really does, doesn't it? And his foundation is based on that, isn't it, pretty much?
Absolutely.
I love it. I just love it. It's just amazing to me. So, you know, he's a true leader. But you know, what the definition of leader? The position as a leader of a group, organization, position of leader, ability or power to lead other people. And like Randy and I were saying, Randy mentioned a mother. You do it with your children every day, right?
Yeah.
You have to do it. Yeah, and somebody has to forge the way. So if you're listening and you're just thinking of, you know, you do the, it could be a hobby, it could be a complete change, it could be anything. You can do it. Don't quit. Don't quit if you have a desire that just keeps going and keeps going. You know, in lifetime, in our life, if we have, like I've really had the vision with Really Universal back in the mid to late 90s, and I pulled back a lot to go to Hawaii and then start the brokerage there. And the vision and the calling never left. It just never left. Even at times where I would try to push it away, no, it's too overwhelming. No, I can't. You know, and then you have life, and we'd have to grow in other ways. But I know more than anything that I'll finish that, as long, God willing, you know, if I'm alive, God willing, long enough to do it. I'm going to finish that because it's such a strong passion and vision. And we've all had, you hear people a lot saying, I wish I would have done this or wish could have done this. You can. You really can. Maybe in a different way. Sometimes I think we you know, they say, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. One bite at a time, right? Many times, whatever we're thinking, we want to go do, and you are a leader when you're thinking this too, because it's something you're starting or you're pushing or you're changing or you're doing something different. It seems so overwhelming. Oh, it's just going to be too much. I don't have the money. I don't have the willpower. I don't have the strength. I may not have the knowledge. No, one step at a time. Don't, you know? And now there's some things. Have you ever noticed people, like, do you want to go do this for, oh, you can make so much money doing this. It's like, no, not interested at all. It's not my thing. Right?
Yeah.
We all kind of know if it's like, no, I truly don't want to do that, you know, and you hear people, you know, but then when you're immersed in something and you keep doing it and doing it, there must be a reason, you know, just besides paying bills. I'm not talking about, you know, everybody has to pay bills and has to make the money and cover everything. But so I just wanted to put that out there today about leadership, because we all do it. So it doesn't mean you have to be running this huge organization to be a leader. Not at all, you know?
Not at all. No.
And so I just think that, you know, my calling, I think, in life, I mean, it's obvious, is with God and, you know, and trying to help and motivate and, you know, go through to the next level. And of course, we're in the real estate industry, so we're into changes and making changes that fit the market today, just like our real estate menu systems let buyers and sellers help. Get customized and save money or make money in the process. They can be a part of it, and we have a great network. But that took a long time to build, and we still have so much to do. And you know, it's just those passions. I mean, you and Monica have done with the marriage ministry is just incredible. And we all have a story, and that story can be our life, even if our life was zigzagging with different careers and different businesses or different jobs, right? That's not a zigzag. Every piece, everything that you've done, ties into where God's going to take you now. You may be, you know. So I just kind of like to bring that in. I know we bring that in a lot of when we're talking about different four steps in life, but you know, some people, and everybody loves, say you have a job that you've had for 20 years and it's the same thing every day, and you're doing something, say in the factory, like the same on I don't know how many assembly lines they have anymore these days, right? But I'm just saying the same type of, you know, because machines are taking over, but the same thing where you think, oh, but you love it, you absolutely love it, then don't change that. You know what I mean? I think that's lots of times people compare themselves to other people, you know, and they're doing something. You know, I was talking to an old friend last week or met and that I knew when I was a teenager, and she likes doing the cashier work, and she's done it for 30 years. And she said, gosh, it's going to be hard. And she has having back problems. And so, well, it's going to be, is that hard on your back? You know, if you want to do something else in the, she goes, I love it. I love the people that come through the line. I love talking to people. I love everything. It's just that I can't, certain things, she has to have certain shoes and do whatever. You know, and that's 30 years.
Wow.
So if you love it, you see what I mean? Don't, there's just different things that everybody has to. So don't let anyone discourage you and say, oh, my gosh, you've been doing that for so long. Go, why don't you go do this? Well, if, you know, it's kind of neat.
Well, and you know, as you say that, I think about, again, my journey with radio. And at many times, as you know, I've thought about, you know, kind of doing a whole different thing. But really, it's been my passion, and I've got all this experience. Now, I would love to, as I kind of look to finish strong, I love to kind of merge radio with personal growth and giving back. So you and I started this show, and it was really the beginning. You were very instrumental in encouraging me in this, you know, because I had many times, like you with real estate, felt like, well, maybe I should do something else and totally get out of radio. And you encouraged me to stay in it. And as I've stayed in it, and I've seen that, okay, he can, you know, God can use me with radio and personal growth. And I started doing the John Maxwell nationally syndicated radio spots for him. And, you know, I work with you and work with all these people who are change agents. And it's just, I'm bringing that expertise.
Your expertise and me, I could see you, Randy. I've known you since, I think, we're at 2013, around 2002, somewhere around there. I don't know. It's been a while, right? I don't know where the time goes. So anyhow, for me, it was always obvious. You just got this gift with the people, and you're so phenomenal with the radio that it's so amazing. And, of course, with radio now, with technology. So I can see that. So when we started doing the show, and then you're like, oh, well, okay, I don't know. Well, we did the show. My brother died a week after. It was terrible for me, right? I'm just starting to come back to getting energy now. You know, the grief has been horrible, right? We still forged through, and you helped me to still keep doing it. And you're, well, we don't have to do it, right? And we can wait. No, Randy, we're not. We're going to do it. We're going to do it, right?
Yeah.
Remember a couple times, well, let's change the time or change this. No, Randy, we want to stay consistent because our listeners expect that. Or the worst thing you see with, you know how places will start something and then somebody goes back, they're gone already, or they change this, change that. And that was the foundation. You have all that foundation from years. So you stuck with it, and then you start seeing all the other things start happening, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
You've been awesome.
Yeah.
And I thank you so much for keeping me there when I just was in a, in a bad place, because it was good for me to just stick with it. And we've done it now for, it'll be 2 years in January, my goodness, in a couple months. And, isn't that cool? And I could see it with you. You're just like, to me, I could always see you're just that, you've got that gift, and that was no, and I think sometimes other people can see our gifts better than we can. Not the desires we have, we know that, but sometimes other people that have our best interests at heart, there's a lot of people that might be naysayers, you know, they can see there and see that, hey, that person has that gift, that person, they can go do this and go do that, so... Yeah, it's amazing, but what it
What strikes me as you were just recapping our journey together is a couple years ago I had this gift and this dream of using radio to, you know, add value and personal growth arena, and I didn't know what that looked like, but I kept pursuing it. You and I kept doing our thing. And the point is, just because you have a gift doesn't mean it's automatically going to happen. You know,
right.
You do have to persevere. And I've had a lot of success in radio. You've had a lot of success in real estate. But then this new season of forging this new idea, there's been opposition.
Mm-hmm.
There's been times I'm like, this is not working. Other people are like, I don't think it's really, you know. And you start to listen to the naysayers and then the negative things in your mind. But you persevere. I think that's the word for today. You've said it several times. You don't quit. You know,
don't quit. Well, I'm not at all, and you're amazing, and I thank you, and I give a lot of praise to God and praise to you for, you know, I really appreciate you. And to anyone listening right now, we get a lot of people listen later. It just seems like the new way to do things nowadays at people's convenience. You know, don't quit. God really is real, and I mean, I love the fact that somebody can't kick us off of something because I'm saying that God is really real. God, the creator, you know, God's a creator. And our souls and spirits, we have a lot of the answers inside. So sometimes it's good to pray, meditate, and you can learn to pray and fast. That's something that's been kind of interesting. Pray and meditate and ask for answers, and it'd be amazing how all of a sudden it just starts working because things happen, and then you just start knowing and then you find a peace about certain things. And I have a... I'm going to end off with this one thing real quick before we get started with our next guest. I, in 1998, had gone through some things because, in an industry, you can get ripped off. That's just putting it out there, right? So anyhow, and I was, like, determined I was going to get to Hawaii before I started doing this. And then in the journey to get back to Hawaii, so living there as a kid, you know, some things happened. And I had to fight back, and I did. And But I knew I with Real Universal, that was a big passion for me, right? So I actually wrote a letter to Donald Trump's office, talked to his assistant, Norma Federis. So I'm going to read you this letter. Okay, this is a letter gets sent back to me August 13, 1998, from Norma Federis, F-O-E-R-D-E-R-E-R, assistant to the president. She still be. I haven't checked with Donald Trump's. And I was asking for, I kind of wanted to pick his brain. I wanted to ask advice, wanted to see if they'd be interested in our Real Universal, you know, type of thing, concept. Because I knew, but I also knew I wanted to get to Hawaii to build up there before I would work on this, because I knew it would be huge, too much of a take on for me by myself, right? At the time, even though I've been in a bitch. So anyhow, we're getting ready to get to, we have got to cut off real quick. But she writes, dear, and I had adversity because of this, you know, some stuff that happened in the industry that was basically, you know, I trained someone for a long time and they kind of ripped me off. But I'm not going to go into that stuff because that's not, you know, but I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to deal with that and just deal with the getting kicked in the gut when you're younger and you go, oh my gosh, you get older and you're like, okay, well, you can expect some things to happen. But she writes, dear Ms. Mullenix, Mr. Trump received your letter of August 2nd in which you seek advice for marketing your international real estate concept. We sympathize with the situation you find yourself in. However, you are clearly a determined woman, and we have no doubts you most definitely will land on your feet. You have done remarkably well in the face of adversity before. There is every reason in the world to expect you will continue to do so. Mr. Trump's busy schedule does not allow him the time to give ample consideration to something as important as an international real estate concept, nor is he in any position to offer you personal advice. We are confident that in time, the answers will come to you and remind you that if you keep focused and committed to your idea, people will begin to listen. Good luck, with kind regards. It's such a nice, you know, I mean, it's just nice, but it's true. When we do stay committed and we don't let go of our dreams, people do start to listen. I started when I first started that concept way back. What is that now? People go, wow, that really works. Wow, that is great. Wow, I love it, you know? So, you can't let adversity stop you. So what we're going to end the show
with,
don't quit. Don't quit.
I love that. I love that. Awesome. All right, Realty Universal Radio on the air everywhere. And, That was an awesome segment. We're going to take a break, and on the other side, Jeff Scharnhorst, the executive director of the Pacific Cancer Foundation. Stay tuned.
Real estate is still a solid investment to invest in if you are in for the long haul. It can also be one of the best investments of your capital if handled correctly. In the United States, we are fortunate to have the tax write-offs that we take for granted while owning property. To obtain the best value for your real estate, there needs to be a market of both buyers and sellers, as well as a means of bringing the two together. Now more than ever, due to the recent loan crisis, even with bringing buyers and sellers together, there needs to be a way to make the financing work if a loan is needed. There are still many options available, and we can help. Whether you're a buyer, seller, going through a short sale, investing at the top or bottom, we have trained Realty Universal members in each state and affiliates who can customize your process the way it will work best for you. We do advise that you coordinate with your accountant and real estate attorney so your plan is intact. We have all learned through this economy that planning and averting pitfalls can make a world of difference in our futures. Ultimately, you have to rely on you. After consulting with the experts, we set you up to win.
It's your Minute with Maxwell. Here's author, speaker, and mentor to millions, your friend, John Maxwell.
How do I get off of the I think I'll do it to the do it stage? You see, many people, their life is something like this. Ready, aim, 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 aim. They never fire. They never shoot. They never execute. Now, let me just also say there are some people that's like ready, fire, aim. And you know, they don't execute either. They just shoot somebody accidentally. Execute means that there's a ready, preparation, aim, get your target, but then you shoot. The greatest gap in the world is the gap between knowing and doing.
Thanks, John. We trust we added value today. For the video version of the Minute with Maxwell, go to johnmaxwellteams.com.
Yeah, buddy. Welcome back. Realty Universal Radio on the air everywhere. Our very special guest here, Jeff Scharnhorst, the Pacific Cancer Foundation. He's the executive director, Big Brother, Head Big Kahuna, whatever they want to call him. He's the man, the myth, the legend in his own mind and in my mind.
Yeah,
welcome, buddy.
Hey, how's it? How you doing?
Good,
thank
brother.
Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Hey, so we've got a lot of ground to cover. What I would like to do is ask you, you know, about the Pacific Cancer Foundation, let you talk about that, of course, and then talk about leadership, because we've been talking the first half about leadership, and I know you're involved in leadership, obviously, with your job, but also, you know, you're involved in leadership at church and among men and various arenas, so you'd be a good guy to pick your brain. But talk to us a little bit about the Pacific Cancer Foundation and, you know, what you do to help families and then
sure,
how people
absolutely can
plug in.
Absolutely. Well, the Pacific Cancer Foundation, we're a local Maui-based nonprofit. We're a 501c3. We've been around since 2004 when a grateful patient gave a large donation to a doctor and said, do something good with it, because he liked how he had helped his friend with cancer. And so they founded the Pacific Cancer Foundation to try and fill in the PUCAs in our community where other organizations weren't able to help. So over the years, I've been there since 2009, and as the executive director, and we have worked hard to establish some new programs and things that are helping a lot of different people. What we do is, as I said, we try and fill in the PUCAs in the community that others aren't able to do. So we try not to ever duplicate what anybody else is doing. But instead we try and partner and collaborate with other organizations, other good programs in the community, how we can extend them, leverage them, make them go further, so that the main goal is really to help people with cancer and their families, period. I tell everybody that ever comes in contact with us or works with us, you know, there's always a lot of politics and a lot of, you know, bureaucracy that obviously we have to deal with in the healthcare world. And I always tell everybody, I said, look, here's number one rule. We are patient-centered, patient-centered, patient-centered. Those are the three things that we do, and that's all we do, is we are patient-centered. Because at the end of the day, you and I don't have to go home with cancer. Somebody else that we're taking care of and their family does. And that's a real heavy burden and a real hardship for people to go through, and they need all the help they can get. And so that's what we're doing here, is to try and provide programs that can be an assistance or a support or a direction to people while they're going through that cancer experience.
There's so many ways. Yeah. So many ways, right?
Yeah.
So many ways that you fill in the PUCAs. Yeah.
Well, one of our signature programs that I started when we first came here, you know, when I first came on board, I didn't want to be presumptuous. And that's, you know, talking about leadership. Sometimes, you know, you come in as a leader and you think, I'm God's man of faith and power for the hour. I know all the answers. I'll tell you what you need to do. Here's what you need to do. You know, that kind of thing. And, you know, the smart leader comes in and says, you know, God's already doing something, and there's already good people that have been working hard to lay some groundwork here before I ever showed up. What can I first learn by asking questions? What is it that you think you need? So when I first came on board as executive director, that's what I did. I went and talked to the doctors, the nurses. I talked to the patients. I talked to their family members and said, what is it that you think that is needed for people in this, you know, going through this cancer experience that's not currently being provided or being provided well enough that could be better? And, of course, what I heard was, well, I can't figure out this insurance. I need money to buy groceries. I can't get a ride to my doctor. I need money to pay rent or, you know, buy food or put gas. You know, I had to stop work, so I'm tight on funds and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And what I ended up coming up with was I thought, well, I can't, you know, you had to be creative, because I thought, well, I can't come up with just cash money. You know, I could come up with probably some cash money, but I'd be poor in about, you know, 3 weeks, you know, giving it all away. So what I decided instead was we came up with the Patient Navigator Program, which has become our signature program. Carly Berg here. I went over to the college. My wife is the director of nursing over there, along with Denise Cohen over at UH Maui College. And I was able to speak to the Patient Navigator, the Health Navigator class, as one of the instructors for a little bit on a couple of classes. And I found the top three students in the class, and I hired the number one best student they had. And she has turned out to be absolutely fantastic. Couldn't be happier with her and the work that she's doing. But we help navigate people through the cancer experience. You know, it's like, well, where do I go? Who do I talk to? What questions do I ask? How do I get a ride? You know, where can I fill out an insurance form? You know, how do I get help paying for my medications? I need a flight to Oahu. How do I do that? You know, all these different sorts of things that, you know, people just come across when you're diagnosed with cancer. There's a lot of things you have to do. So we try and provide somebody that sits with them and, you know, can help guide them through that whole process.
Wow, we are talking to Jeff Scharnhorst, the executive director of the Pacific Cancer Foundation on Maui, and you know, talking again about the signature programs and what they actually do. And you know, I love that you tied in the leadership piece there, as you talked about when you first came on board, and rather than be the, you know, God's man of the hour, here's what we're going to do, you just came in with more of a servant leadership, I guess, type of a thing of how can I best serve you, right? That was your question. What can we do, you know? And as you did that, you found out how to fill the pukas, what the needs are. That's awesome.
Right. Yeah, you know, because really that's what we are called to do as leaders, you know. It's very funny that somebody said that to me the other day. I was leading one of the programs I lead over at Hope Chapel is the Alpha program, which is an introduction to Christianity for all sorts of people, you know, to bring people together, to help them grow in their faith, to answer questions they might not even know they have, as well as be an open forum for people who are just investigating faith, you know, that may not be Christians at all. And somebody said to me the other day, as part of the program, I had to step away from the, we do a Saturday away where we're up in Camp Olinda country, learning about the Holy Spirit. And I had to step away from the afternoon session because I was running a fundraiser for the Pacific Cancer Foundation on the other side of the island. On the same day. And somebody said to me afterwards, you know, it didn't, you know, honestly, it didn't even seem like anybody noticed that you were gone. And I said, you know, you know what? That is absolutely awesome. I said, because that's exactly what I'm trying to do, you know, as a leader, is it's not all about me, you know, and how great I am and everybody pat me on the back. It's about serving others to the point where they either take up for themselves and feel, hey, I can do this, or you fade into the background. You know, Jesus becomes preeminent and you disappear, just like John the Baptist said. You know, he must become greater, I must become less. So it's not really about
Amen.
That's the hard thing in the Western context of Christianity, you know, with all of our TV and, you know, radio and all that kind of stuff is, you know, a brand, an identity, a name, you know, a logo, whatever. This is me. This is my thing. You know, because that's how business works, you know. But really, in the kingdom, he says, you know, if you wish to become leader, you must become servant of all. And what does that actually mean, to be the servant of all? Does everybody focus on the butler? No, they don't. They focus on the guy who's served, you know, he's the preeminent one. And I think in leadership that the issue is, who are you actually serving? Well, Jesus tells us when you care for the poor or you visit those in prison or you care for the sick, you're taking care of him. He's the one that you're serving.
Bingo.
And that's really the preeminent, you know, point, I guess, of servant leadership really is who are you serving and why are you doing it?
Wow.
You know, because, you know, somebody want to see you and your name? Is that what your ultimate goal is? Or is your ultimate goal to serve Christ? You know, and if nobody ever knows your name or notices that you're gone, hey, I didn't even notice that you're not here anymore. Good.
Yeah.
That's
awesome.
Goal.
Wow. And, you know, you hit it on the head, man. That's where the rubber meets the road with people's motivations for leadership, you know. A lot of people are in positional leadership. They find themselves executive directors or GMs or managers of some kind by position, and they think somehow that then entitles them to this, you know, respect, you know, and this place at the table and, you know, all of that stuff. But you're right.
Yeah.
Servant leadership, man, it's an upside down kingdom, isn't it? It's it's saying, I'm going to wash your feet, man. Jesus, the Son of God, washing the disciples' feet. This is how you lead.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is a difficult thing to do, you know, because, you know, all the years that I was doing it, you know, and still do it, you know, I'm like, you know, hey, man, I'm in charge. I shouldn't have to put away chairs. You know, I shouldn't have to pick up dishes. You know, doesn't that mean that I'm not a good leader because I haven't trained somebody else how to do this or to serve me? Or, you know, and it's like, no, it's not. You lead by example. You lead by giving your life away. That's what you want people to do, to lay down their lives. Then you're the one that needs to lead the charge. You know, it's like that movie I watched the other day, one of my favorite movies ever, Glory. Remember that movie, Glory?
Oh, yeah.
With Denzel Washington and Matthew Broderick?
Oh, yeah.
I watched that something the other day. I hadn't seen it in years. And at the end of the movie, when they're trying to lead that assault up on the fortress there, and they're pinned down, and who gets up? The lieutenant, the corporal, you know, or Matthew Broderick.
Yep.
He gets up and says, come on, and leads the charge. And he takes two steps, and he's shot down. And, man, when all of his men watch him give his life, and Denzel Washington mans up and he turns around and says, come on, we're going. Man, I just choke up and cry every single time. Because that, to me, is servant leadership right there. It's like he laid down his life. We're going. We love this man. We're going for the mission.
Yeah. He modeled it. He modeled it, and knowing it would probably, you know, mean his life. But it made them better men, you know, and it modeled, and like you say, it became this. That is a great flick. I love that movie. I'm a Civil War buff, but Jeff Scharnhorst is with us, and again, Executive Director, Pacific Cancer Foundation, here on Maui, and we are broadcasting, by the way, live right now from the corporate offices of the Maui Dive Shop on South Kihei Road, baby. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, mahalo to everybody here at the Maui Dive Shop for allowing us to be here and broadcast live, and we're excited about, you know, Pono Radio and more on that in the future. But Natalie Mullinex, of course, Realty Universal is this show, and she's been very instrumental in encouraging me, like we talked about in the first half hour of, you know, Natalie, Jeff was kind of laying out this thing of what it is to be a leader and not to give up. You know, and the idea of often a leader has an idea and needs to pursue it and not, you know, let other people, you know, listen to other people. I mean, there's a point where you do listen to other people as a leader, like you said, but then also, you know, there's a way to implement what you feel like you need to change, but to do it in a way that, you know, isn't forceful, and it gets back to a spiritual conversation, I think, about God helping us do that, because we humans like to steamroll stuff, right?
Well, absolutely, you know, and that's the thing, the, you know, a very key point of being a leader is humility, you know. Jesus, you know, calls us to live and walk in humility, you know, and follow his example. He was the greatest leader of all. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and yet he was not above him to get down and wash his disciples' feet. And he said, look, if I, Lord and Master, do this for you, then you should do this for one another.
Absolutely.
And the visions that God gives us, you can usually tell when they're God-given visions, because it's not building you up. It's bringing people together to draw to him. As long as it's lifting him up, because he said, if I'm lifted up, then everybody will be drawn to me.
And you find a peace about it. You know, it's peaceful. God doesn't have contention. You find peace about it. Can you tell give us your contact information again for the Cancer Foundation?
Oh, absolutely.
Just because we have different, okay.
No problem. The great thing, what I love about being able to come on shows like yours is a lot of people will hear me talk about the Pacific Cancer Foundation, and they'll think, oh, well, I don't need that information. I don't have cancer. But I guarantee you know somebody who does. Every place I go, I say, hey, raise your hand, everybody that's been ever affected by cancer, a loved one, a friend. 95% of the people will raise their hands in the room.
Absolutely.
So if this is not you directly, you may know somebody that could use our help. So give us a call at 243-2999. That's Carly, our patient navigator, 243-2999. You can always contact our office to talk to me at 242-7661, 242-7661, or just go to our website. Just punch in PacificCancerFoundation.org, and we'll pop right up, and all our contact information. You can watch some videos of some of the things we've done. You can read about all the different programs we have. We have many, many different programs to help people with cancer.
PacificCancerInformation.org, and I just want to mention that's 808-243 area code. Oh, Pacific.
Yes.
What?
Yes. PacificCancerFoundation.org.
Foundation. I'm sorry, Foundation.
Yeah. No problem. PacificCancerFoundation.org. All 808. Yes, 808.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey Jeff, talk about the paddle for life. That's something I saw a picture on Facebook, a very cool picture of you guys and a whole bunch of people out there. Talk about what you guys do. That's an annual event now that you do?
Yes. We just finished our fifth annual Paddle for Life. And what we've done is Kimo Keo Kapai Lehua is our race director and really the heart and soul of what we've done here. It was really a vision that started with him to take people who are cancer survivors, friends, family members, doctors, nurses, and paddle across the channel to Lanai. And so at first, whenever they said this, we're like, you're kidding. Really? Take them all the way across the Ao Ao channel? I mean, we're talking about some of these ladies are 70-year-old breast cancer survivors.
Wow.
And he said, absolutely, we can do this. And a lot of people said, you know, you're crazy. You're at too big a risk. Are you sure they're not going to be able to make it, et cetera, et cetera? And sure enough, they trained. He inspired them. And in the first year, we had 55 people go with us. In the second year, we had 85. The third year, we had 165. The fourth year, we had 235. And this keeps growing with the inspiration of people to – basically what we're trying to show is that there is life after cancer. That is our motto.
Yeah.
Paddle for Life and for the Pacific Cancer Foundation. There's life. There's a lot of life after cancer. And a lot of people are surviving and thriving and really appreciating and enjoying life. And so the Paddle for Life, the Safeway Foundation has sponsored us in that event every year, $20,000.
Wow.
So a great mahalo to the Safeway Foundation for being so generous to us every year during Breast Cancer Awareness Month to support us in the Paddle for Life. And the money that we raise at Paddle for Life goes to the Pacific Cancer Foundation's Patient Navigator Program, because what we feel is we see it as a metaphor, as a symbol for navigating your way through the cancer experience. When you stand on the shore in Maui and you look across the channel at Lanai and you think, there's no way I'm going to be able to make that. That's too far. It's too hard. I'm too weak.
Yeah.
People come around you and say, yeah, but you're not going to do it alone. We're going to be here with you. We're going to get in the canoe with you, and we're all going to paddle together, and we're all going to reach the other side together. And when those paddlers land on the beach there in Manelli Bay, man, just tears, high fives, and hugs. Look, I made it. And it's such an inspiration, you know, to say, look, you can do it. Not on your own, together. We all come together. So kind of gets back to your, you know, your theme of leadership. Leadership is done together. It's not, I'm the lone ranger. Leadership brings people together. Leadership collaborates. Leadership networks. Leadership lifts others up. Leadership gives people the idea, hey, you can do this. You're able. You're gifted. God will help you. That's what a leader does. A leader helps people go, oh, I can't do this. I'm not as good or smart or clever or handsome or whatever as you. And you just have to go, are you kidding? If God could raise up a knucklehead like me to help people, he could do a lot better with you. Because you're much more gifted and talented than I am. Wow. And, you know, that's the incredible thing, that people, if you just give them just a little bit of encouragement and just give them a little bit of opportunity, and when somebody comes to say, you know what we should do, you know, or you know, and they want to criticize, then I always go, that's a great idea. What do you think we should do about it? Why don't you take that on to fix that? What can we do about it?
That's good.
I love it. I love it. When is the Paddle for Life? What time of year?
The Paddle for Life is every October. It's usually the first or second weekend in October. We organize it around the wake season here in Hawaii. So this year it was on the first weekend in October. We usually go opposite of the Molokai Hoi, which is the last big race of the season, the Molokai Hoi. And so we're usually in the opposite weekend of them. Typically we like to go the weekend after, but it has to do with weather and whatnot. But it's always one of the first 2 weeks of October during Breast Cancer Awareness Month is when we do it.
Fantastic. Awesome.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah,
very cool.
We're always looking for new participants. Absolutely. We're always looking for new people that want to join us, get a team together.
Hey, Randy, let's get you and Monica and I do it next year, for sure. Yeah.
Let's do it.
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
You could get a Pono canoe.
Yeah. Team Pono Radio, baby. Come on.
Pono canoe.
Pono Radio. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Pink Pono. Pono for pink.
All right, we've got it. I'm putting it on the calendar.
There you go.
Dude, that's amazing.
Absolutely.
There you go, collaboration. Jeff Scharnhorst, again, with the executive director of the Pacific Cancer Foundation. And Jeff is an amazing dude. And this has been Leadership 101, and I know we could go another couple hours on leadership. And actually, we're talking about maybe doing a show on Pono Radio where you and I talk leadership and spirituality.
Absolutely.
And all of that stuff
to.
Because so powerful. We've got I've got 2 minutes, and just want to give you, I'm going to give you a parting shot, man. People are listening and going, yeah, it sounds cool. Yeah, I don't know. I know I'm called to be a leader, but, you know, parting shot on leadership. I'll give you like 90 seconds here.
Absolutely. God calls everybody to be a leader. You know, it's not only a special calling. There's lots of special gifts, of course. But you know what? Jesus calls us to follow him. Follow him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And, you know, you're not going to always have it all together. You're never going to be in the perfect place. You're always going to have some questions along the way. But that is what a real leader is, somebody who doesn't wait until it's all together and has all the answers. But it's somebody who goes with a heart and a vision and a passion and helps lead people forward and works together to craft the vision. There's a vision of bringing people to Christ. There's a vision of bringing people into a relationship with God, and you work together as a body, as an ohana, a family, to help craft that vision that will affect many, many people. That's what your life is for. Your life is for others.
Wow.
Your life is for others.
We're going
to
have you back, and we stay in touch, too, because that's wonderful. God can move mountains. This has been a pleasure. And to everybody out there, I wish
thanks,
you
Jeff.
Absolutely.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.